The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Welcome to the July edition of Walking with the Giant. Coming up on this program, we'll be hearing from a representative of Amazing Grace Ministries. This is a group that travels all across the United States, ministering at county and state fairs. I'll also have an update on my July preaching engagements for you. And coming up later in the program, we'll be listening to part two of the message entitled, Little People Can Do Big Things for God. Or maybe we should subtitle it, Samuel Listens. But coming up first, we're going to be listening to our Ghana Ministry Coordinator for the James Croft Evangelistic Association. So let's go now to Ghana, West Africa, and talk with Evangelist Rao.
Time now for the Ghana Update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Raphael Aji Kingby shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
I'm on the telephone with the brand new daddy, Evangelist Rao. Ralph, about 2 days after we did the interview for the June edition of our program, Mavis gave birth. You must have been so excited.
Yes, Papa. I was very excited, Papa.
And tell me, was the date of the birth, do you know that right off the top of your head?
He came June 2nd, Papa.
June the 2nd. All right, so the baby came June the 2nd. Mavis did very well through the delivery, and the baby is healthy?
Yes, Papa. He's very healthy, Papa.
I know that there were some concerns with Mavis having malaria. What type of malaria or how severe was the case that she had?
Papa, it wasn't too severe.
Everything normal about the baby, just a normal baby boy?
Yes, Papa.
Okay, we even posted on our website how much the baby weighed and how long the baby was, and everything was normal.
Yes, sir.
When did the baby and the mother get to come home? Was it like the Monday after the baby was born?
Yeah, the baby was born on Friday, and the mother and the baby came home the next Monday, Papa.
There really is something miraculous about that she even got to come home with the baby.
Yes.
You were telling us on our last program that in Ghana, if you cannot pay the hospital bill, that they will detain the patient, that they will keep the baby that is born or something like that. You were not
able
to pay the bill when it was time to release her, but they let her leave anyway. Why was that?
Yes, because the nursing officer who was in charge or who took care of her during her delivery, and she happens to be a member of my church, so she's standing in a way as a mediator for us, so that when we were ready with the money, we come and clear the debts, Papa.
So God had already set it up that the person helping Mavis during the time of delivery was someone from your church, and
yes,
she
Papa.
Served as a mediator, and they let you bring Mavis and the child home, knowing that you would return to pay the bill.
That's right.
That hospital bill in cedis, in Ghanaian cedis, how much did that bill come to?
It came to 3.5 million cedis, Papa.
3.5 million cedis. And in American dollars, that's how much?
Close to $400, Papa.
And I want to say here that in Ghana, $400 American is a major sum of money. If you can earn a million cedis in 1 month, you have a good income in Ghana. And I want to say that the listeners of Walking with the Giant and those who read our blog, walkingwiththegiantblog.org, that they came through, and since we decided to hold the online baby shower for Ralph and his wife, we've been able to send $600 American dollars to Ralph and Mavis, and that paid the entire hospital bill. That also bought necessary supplies for the baby, and even caught up some past utility bills because utility bills run very high in Ghana. Even though the income is low, the bills are high. And so God has blessed you that within a week of Mavis being out of the hospital, the bill was paid.
Yes, Papa. And by this, Papa, I want to send our appreciation to all our listeners, and how they have shown their love towards us by contributing and donating to the baby shower. And Papa, I'm saying that God bless them so much that God will reward them for what they have done for us and our baby, Papa.
Outstanding. Now, Ralph, here in the United States, when a baby is born, the parents a lot of times already have a name picked out, and they go ahead and do the birth certificate immediately. In Ghana, you wait for a week or 2 weeks or so, depending on the condition of the mother, and you hold an official naming ceremony. Is that correct?
That's correct, Papa.
Tell me about the naming ceremony.
When you are a Christian, most of the times we do the naming ceremony in the church premises. So early morning at dawn, somewhere around sometimes 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m., carry the baby and the mother and the family members who will be with you to the church premises, that is the church auditorium. And then you invite maybe a minister or elder, one of the elders of the church to undertake the naming ceremony for you. So they will all gather to sing some hymns and sing some praises. And then the one who will be doing the naming ceremony will request for the baby, and then the baby will be given to him, and then he will give a short exhortation by advising parents and all the witnesses or those who follow you to the place. And then he will ask the father for the name of the baby, and then the father will give the name of the baby, and then will give the meaning of the name, why you are naming him this or that, or why you are giving him this name. Because names have meanings, and child has been named, and he become what he's been called for.
The name of the baby, we've already put it on our blog, but I want you to tell the names of the baby and what those names mean.
Okay. The baby name is Rafa Ni Ajay Anankimbi.
All right. I'm going to repeat that for our folks. Raphael Ni Ajay Anankimbi. All right. Now,
that's right.
Tell us Raphael.
Rafa means God heals.
God heals.
And then Ni is a title that we give to chiefs.
To chiefs.
Okay. Yeah, the chiefs. So before you mention a chief name, like you, James, we will call you Ni James.
Okay.
Okay. Ajay is in my tribe, the tribe which I came from, which is the Gan tribe. You see, in the Gan tribe, we have
the Ralph is saying the Ga tribe, G-A. The Ga tribe, okay?
The firstborn son is called Ajay.
All right, so for firstborn son, and this one is your firstborn son.
That's right. Anna is my name because I am the fourth child to my daddy, Papa.
Okay, so Anang is the fourth child in the family, and that is you were the fourth from your father, then your child is basically being named after you, and so that would give them the name Anang also.
Yes, Papa. And Akimbi was my mom's name because she was fair in color.
Right.
Fair in color. Yes. I want to keep this name as the surname for all my children.
So from now on, the Kingby will be the surname of your children.
That's right. That's right.
I got you.
That's right.
Ralph, it's been an exciting month for you. Are you getting much sleep?
Papa, not really. My sleep schedules have changed, Papa.
Your sleep habits have changed. And I must share with our listeners, one evening I was at my home and my telephone rings, and I pick up the telephone and say hello, and I hear a screaming baby on the other end. And about that time, I hear Ralph's voice going, "Papa, is that not the most beautiful voice?" So Ralph was sharing some of those moments with me.
And Papa, do you know when we had the circumcision for him, we are asked not to put diapers or what we call diapers or pampers or napkins
right.
on him. So he was that bare naked, and when he wants to do anything at all, he just releases it, and sometimes it looks like a spraying water. Water is being sprayed on you when you need it. And Papa is amazing, Papa. It's amazing, Papa. It's amazing. Sometimes I get frightened. I say, woo. Because I don't know. All of a sudden, I realize that the baby is urinating all around me, Papa.
Well, y'all, we learn a lot from listening to Evangelist Ralph talk about just the basic things of life. Ralph, let's close with a moment of prayer.
Yes, Papa.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for Ralph. God, we're just so thankful for his honesty and his refreshing outlook toward the new things that he is experiencing now. And God, I just pray that you bless him. Bless the mother, bless the child, bless that home, Father, that may Jesus be always the center point of that entire family. And Lord, help Ralph and Mavis to train up this child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. God, bless them as a family, bless their ministry, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say?
It's time now for Talking with a Giant. Here's James.
Over the last several years, I've worked the Bradford County Fair in Stark, Florida, with New River Solid Waste Association, my current employer. And there's a group of missionaries that I see each year. We never see each other, but once a year, it seems like. But it's always at the Bradford County Fair, and they're with Amazing Grace Mission. And I'm being joined right now by Howard Butzer. And I want to thank you for joining us on our program this evening.
It's an honor to be here.
All right. Tell us about Amazing Grace Mission. Exactly what is this?
Very good. Well, just as a man would like to go out and fishing, we go out and fish for the souls of men. In a nutshell, that's what it is. Background a little bit. Dr. James Gardner, the founder and director of our mission, when he was a young man, he went to Michigan State College. Long story short, he came to know Christ there, and even though he had an agricultural background, as a pastor in the state of Indiana, he was concerned about the people going to the fairs, the agricultural community. So he started working the fairs, and so finally in 1983, he founded the work in the state of Tennessee and went full-time. And so what our main thrust of the mission is, we go to the state and county fairs of America to reach men and women, boys and girls, for the cause of Christ. A division of that is Farmers for Christ International, which was founded in 1996. But the primary focus is this independent mission, these missions, which will proclaim the gospel in the fairgrounds of America, to guide these folks into saved, into fundamental Baptist churches primarily, and so that's what we do. And so we're grateful for what the Lord is doing.
How many teams of missionaries are there in this ministry that travel the U.S.?
Well, there's a number of folks, primarily retired folks, that have given their lives to this ministry, and we have perhaps 60 to 100 folks that are in this category where we go out in teams and full-time work. It's basically really about 8, 10, 12 12 months of the year. For example, in wintertime, we come down to Florida, snowbirds come south, and then we have a number of fairs in Florida. And then our own schedule, we'll be going various fairs. We'll be going all the way up to as far as Michigan. We'll be heading in Indiana and Michigan. But our whole United States is covered by different missionaries, all the 48 states of the Union, continental states, including also Australia. And we have been in Mexico and also now in Canada, and recently opened up in Africa. And so it's interesting how the internet is reaching out and reaching contact. And so it's basically reaching out now.
Which is exactly how this program is circulated, is via a podcast on the internet. So it does have far-reaching effects.
Right.
How long have you and your wife been traveling doing this work?
Very good question. I have been with the work full-time since January of 1989. My wife joined me a few years later full-time. She had been 36 years of a public school teacher and in private school, Christian school. But together now we are serving the Lord, and so we actually joined together full time. But we started officially in 1989, so we've been a number of years now together.
And how many states will you cover in a year? Or do you? I guess a better question would be: does your teams have certain areas that they're responsible for, or is it just where you feel as individuals led to go?
My wife and I, for example, we usually cover the same circuit because we get familiar with the area, and
right.
It works out best that way. But so different teams around the country actually, we have, for example, a friend out in the state of Washington. He used to be living in Indiana, but he covering the state up there. We have another friend and his wife that are covering basically the work in Texas, and another couple of friends that are covering the work of Ohio, basically. So folks from various backgrounds cover these various areas. I have one dear friend that is in Australia, and Lloyd Rickard, and he does 6 months in this country and then 6 months in Australia.
Tell me, what is your approach at the county fairs? You know, in other words, I've seen your booth many times, and you have various tracks, and you have what I would say is the come on or the teaser thing there on the table about the looking behind the doors. And but what is how do you handle a situation? I mean, a fair is not the easiest place to talk one-on-one with someone,
right.
As people can hear the noise in the background
right.
of this interview even,
right.
You know, so good. It's not the easiest place to do it. How
very
do
good
do
question. What we usually do, we have a couple things. In fact, our founder got the idea from a man who is an experienced veteran in fair work, and basically what we're doing is we have a three-door unit. Many of our units, we have different titles, but one of the most popular titles is See Three Things That God Cannot Do. It's a little three-door unit, and people, I thought God could do everything. And so they open the first door, kind of as a teaser, they come on, it's a conversational piece.
Right.
And so they say, well, open door, first door, God cannot lie, scripture of reference, that God cannot lie. And then second door, God cannot change, I'm the Lord, I change not, Malachi. Finally, the third door, God cannot let anyone in heaven unless they're born again, in John 3:3. You must be born again. And we say, by the way, if you die tonight, are you 50, 75, 100% sure, 100% sure you're going to heaven? And if they're not sure, can I show you? Some people say they are sure, but even if they're sure, say, hey, if you stood before the Lord tonight, how do you know for sure you'd be in heaven?
Right.
And if they're not sure, then we show them from the scriptures how they can know for sure.
Do you keep statistics on how many that you witness to and how many that makes professions of faith during the course of a year?
With ourselves, my wife, myself, and then the team that we work with, we've seen well over 1,000 probably each year that we counsel with for salvation.
Fantastic.
So we are grateful for what the Lord did. Again, we give all the credit to the Lord. It's as He brings them in. And so we
all we can do is plant the seed.
Right.
He's got to bring the harvest.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly right. How many months out of the year are you on the road?
About 8 months of the year.
All right, and then the other 4 months, where do you call home?
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Do you get to see a lot of the same people from year to year as you travel the same circuit?
Many times we do.
And do you have very many, you know, it just crossed my mind of when Jesus healed the 10 and a majority did not even come back to thank him. Do you ever run into people that you've led to the Lord maybe a year or two years earlier? Do they come back and give you a testimony later on?
We've seen that from time to time. We see people that will, hey, I came back, or I was here at the fair last year. And so we occasionally see that, and we're grateful to see that too.
If people want to know more about Amazing Grace Mission, is there a web address or something?
Right.
I was looking there
right here. They
on
can,
the brochure you gave me.
The web address is www.agm-ffci.org. Again, that's www.agm-ffci.org.
Your sustenance, your income, is it derived from donations, or do you receive compensation from the ministry itself? How can people help?
Okay, very good question. We're a faith ministry, and we're very dependent upon individuals and churches. And we have individuals and churches that do support if they like what we're doing, or they feel a need of what we're doing. And so we are grateful to these folks that rally around him. But the bottom line is, God says, I will supply all your need according to riches and glory, but he uses people, and we give him the praise.
Sure. But if they go to that website, they can see how they can contribute and assist.
Right.
So the next time you're at a local county fair, state fair, wherever you may be, and you see a sign, Amazing Grace Ministries, Amazing Grace Mission, you see, or maybe come across a table where you see the three doors, stop. It could be Brother Butzer and his wife, or it could be one of the other many team members that are traveling the country doing the Lord's work. I appreciate you giving us this opportunity to share with our audience the ministry that God's entrusted to you.
Thank you so much, James.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Time now for a Giant update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
Here are the preaching engagements that are currently scheduled for the month of July. Sunday, July the 9th at 11 a.m., I'll be preaching at my home church at First Baptist Church of Lake Butler, Florida, 195 East Main Street in Lake Butler, Florida. My brother John Croft will be joining me for that service and leading the music. I'll be back again at my home church on that Wednesday, July the 12th at 6:30 p.m. Please be in prayer for my church as we're currently searching for a pastor. Friday and Saturday, July the 28th and 29th, Kevin Owen, Cheryl Kent, and myself will be leading a children's camp at First Baptist Church of Winter Springs, Florida. And then on that Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on July the 30th, we'll be leading the morning worship service. For more information, you can call Pastor Terry Ellickson at area code 407-327-5626. That's 407-327-5626. For more information on any of these services and to see any additions to the calendar, visit my schedule page at jamescroft.org. Also, while you're surfing the web, check out my blog site, walkingwiththegiantblog.org. It's updated every day. And if you would like more information about receiving this program each month on an audio CD, or you would just like to make a contribution to this ministry, you'll find all of that information at walkingwiththegiant.org or jamescroft.org.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Let's get into that eternal Word now.
Hey, let me ask you something. If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight, would you say, boy, am I excited?
Boy, am I excited.
You see, we could go through every one of us. We were on his mind while he was on the cross. I love that song. Isn't that a song? When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And that is so true. He knew us before we knew him. And that's an encouragement. That's an encouragement. That should be an encouragement to you that have lost loved ones. God knows who they are. And God's going to speak to them. Question is, will they listen? Question is, will they hear? But God's going to speak. And so he speaks to Samuel. And I like this. This shows the persistence of God. The first time he calls him, Samuel gets up and runs in there and goes, "Here I am, Eli." God's probably going, "Samuel, it was me." And he goes back, he lays down. So God calls him again. He gets up and he runs to Eli, "Here I am." And he go back and lay down, "It wasn't me." So he still don't recognize it's God. And God calls him again. God's persistence. You know, the scripture that came to my mind was in Revelation, I think it's 3:20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come in and dine with him and him with me." Hearing the voice, but responding. Samuel was responding, but he was responding to the wrong one, wasn't he? Oh boy, how many people do that one? Whew. But so Samuel's got a little problem here of understanding what's going on. This is a new experience for him. You know, and you'd think, well, now, wait a minute. The boy's been raised up in the temple. The boy has, I mean, his mama gave him up to the Lord to minister down there at the temple. So don't tell me why didn't he know God when he heard him? You know, hadn't he heard about him and all? But you know what? How many times have you witnessed to someone, and you've witnessed to someone, and you've witnessed to someone, and you've told them 1,000 times, it seems like, about the Lord, and then one day they ask you a question that, by stars alive, they should have already known. You know, and we just don't understand how that can happen. And here's Samuel surrounded by things of God at the temple and working on a daily basis with the man of God. And God speaks to him and he ain't got a clue who it is. And he runs in thinking it's Eli. And he goes, "Here I am." And Eli 3 times tells him, "Go lay down." And so I want you to see what it goes on to say. It says down in verse number 9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lay down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." Do you notice something interesting here? You see a little teaching taking place even at nightfall here. Samuel, here's what you do. Go lay down. If he speaks to you again, here's what you say. You ever wondered about why do we lead people to the Lord? Why do we say that little, why don't we just tell them to pray? Why don't we just tell them to, well, just tell God you won't forgive us. Why is it that we lead them? Have you ever noticed, we'll give them a sample sinner's prayer, and we will, you know, we'll say, if you believe this with all your heart, you know, you just pray after me, and we will lead them word by word in a prayer. You see, there has to be some teaching taking place, doesn't it? There has to be some teaching. Eli doing a little teaching of Samuel. You see, now he knows, all right, God is speaking to him. I've got to teach him how to respond when God talks. You know, that's why church and Sunday school and Bible study and things like that are so important. Even in a believer's life, we've got to be taught the basic things. That's one of the problems we've got. We've got a lot of folks that sit on pews on Sunday morning in churches, and they don't know the basic things. You know, they get out there into the world, and the first time, some of the simplest little temptations that the devil puts in front of them, and they trip and fall over, and you go, "My stars, you should have seen that one a mile away." They haven't been taught what to look for because they haven't surrendered themselves to the teaching of God. They're hearing, but they're not listening. What does it say in Revelation on several occasions? What, that he that has ears, let him hear? You see, we got to be able to listen. Samuel is being instructed on how to listen. He tells him how to respond. And it says there in verse number 10, "Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. My star is alive. That right there would make me scared to death. Yeah. You know, wouldn't it you? I mean, my goodness, sometimes the Lord lays something on my heart right now. I'm 47 years old, going to be 48 here real soon. And there's times the Lord just begins to lead me in a direction, or that I should go and approach someone or talk to someone about something, or there's a particular message that I need to be preaching and I need to get on researching it and I need to bring that message. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes just what he seems to be leading to makes my ears tingle a little bit. It makes me get a little nervous and, you know, and I begin to hesitate, but I want you to listen. Here he is talking to a young child, and he says, I've got some things to say. And boy, when God has some things to say, we better be ready to listen. You know, I wish we would all listen to God when he speaks to us. Our lives would be so much better, wouldn't it? But you know what? If you haven't listened to God, then odds are you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In fact, I know you couldn't have, because you see, we have to hear the Holy Spirit drawing us. We have to feel Him drawing us to the saving knowledge and power of Jesus Christ. And so we have to be in tune listening for God when He speaks to us saying, you need a Savior. And you know, if we'll listen to God when he says, you need my son, you need a savior, and if we'll put all of our belief and trust in him, and if we will truly ask him to come into our heart and save us from our sins, do you know that he will do exactly that? You know what? You can be born again just by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you'd like to know more information, if you'll visit my website, jamescroft.org, and then click on the link that says, Do You Know? There'll be more information there for you. Or if you need something that's not listed there, if you still have questions, if you will email me, my email address is on that website. If you'll just email me, I'll be glad to try to answer your questions just as soon as I can. If I don't know the answers, I'll try to find them for you. Between all of us, we'll get together and we'll find the answers and get it back to you. You know, I hope that you'll join us again next month for the next edition of Walking with a Giant. Make sure you share this program with your friends and family and those you may associate with at church or at work. Let's spread the word so that we can spread the word of God. Thank you again for joining us. Have a great week, a great month, and I hope to see you next time. God bless you.
You have been Walking with the Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.